IT transformation calls for true collaboration between cross-functional teams, from leaders to developers. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
The Defense Innovation Unit Experimental is growing up and reforming. It's even dropping Experimental from its name. Now called DIU, says it's regrouping and rethinking its business practices after a smackdown by the Government Accountability Office last May. Federal News Radio Scott Mossioni spoke with DIU acting managing partner Sean Heritage.
The Defense Innovation Unit right now, I wouldn't say it was going through a pivot, but a period of, shall we say, thoughtful reflection. So recent experiences, some of which have been rather public, have given us reason to really embrace the fact that we are a learning organization. And as we continue to experiment, there's going to be hiccups and things we'll learn along the way. And it's important to make sure that we are modifying our processes and ways of doing business as a result. So yes, the number of CSOs have slowed down. And yes, it's rather deliberate as we begin to focus more and more on choosing the most impactful projects or problems to solve and ensuring that we are executing our processes in a defensible way. The recent GAO findings that did come out have given us reason to reflect and make sure that the decisions that we've made all along, which we feel really confident in the rigor behind them, are defensible by those who aren't necessarily part of our day-to-day operation. So communicating more, et cetera, et cetera. And we have worked with our contracting teammates at ACC New Jersey, Army Contracting Command New Jersey, to reevaluate, modify, and update, in keeping with those GAO findings, our commercial solutions opening process for that very reason. So no real pivot, no accidental slowdown. Everything is on purpose.
So is this something like maybe we saw with DIUX 2.0 when Ash Carter kind of put the brakes on things for a second, kind of changed the deck chairs a little bit and made things what he thought would be more Silicon Valley-like?
I wouldn't say it's similar to 2.0. 2.0 was a very deliberate rebranding, refocus, new leadership, et cetera. And it was, I'll say for lack of a better word, externally driven. This is all internally driven, and it's just us being responsible members of the department, evaluating how we do things and modifying things that will be transparent to most on the outside.
And I know that you've already touched on this a little bit, but other than the name change, which it sounds like the name change is something that solidifies DIU within the Defense Department, what kind of changes are you looking at making, especially focused on that GAO report?
Well, I mentioned with respect to GAO focused or GAO inspired changes, those are more about how we communicate and how we write contracts from the beginning so that those who are looking from the outside won't question things as we move to production, won't have reason to question them. So this is more about satisfying others. Other changes that we have already made, back in April, we committed to what I'm calling a yes-and phase. So traditionally, since 2.0, DIU has been focused on fielding capability, so solving problems across the department faster, better, cheaper, leveraging commercial technology. We continue to do that. We have over 70 problems that we've solved or are working to solve via our prototype process. So we continue to do that. The and part is embracing the fact that we have organic expertise within our team. So we have a create line of effort, which is focused on creating tailored solutions that leverage commercial technology. This is most visible for those who have been tracking us in our Rogue Squadron, which is focused on the UAS, small group UAS problem set out there. So the create line of effort is focused on creating tailored solutions leveraging commercial technology.
Sure. And just for the listeners, would you mind kind of explaining just in brief the CSO contracting vehicle and how that differs from OTA and also the DFAR and FARS type stuff?
Well, our commercial solutions opening was developed to focus on affording non-traditional companies the opportunity to do work with the department. So these are companies that haven't traditionally done any work with the department, have no reason to do work with the department. It's too cumbersome, and in many respects, they are at a phase of their development where their venture capitalists, for example, are coaching them or were coaching them not to do work with us just because it wasn't in their best interest for long-term commercial viability. So the commercial solutions opening is focused on making it easy for them to apply for opportunities to solve our problems. We've seen over time the number of companies vying for an opportunity continue to increase. Recently, we had a commercial solutions opening that garnered 77 non-traditional companies who wanted an opportunity to help solve our problem. So I like to say we define success by the number of commercial companies that want to do work with us and see themselves as an extension of the national security innovation base. And we also measure success by the number of DoD customers that come to us asking for help to solve their problems. And both of those are on the rise, though the number of CSOs that we may be releasing is not on the rise. The number of problems we've been asked to solve continues to rise, and the number of commercial companies interested in helping out continues to rise.
And you know, I just wanted to kind of bring this up is that some of the criticism that I've heard of DIU is that, you know, a lot of money goes into prototyping, but it may not necessarily make it to the production phase. I was just wondering if you had maybe a response to that criticism.
Yes, I don't think that is a criticism. I think that that's reality. So when we talk about our field line of effort, we expect that somewhere between 40 to 60% of the projects we do will scale across the force. Now, those in the government might say, wow, that's really low. You know, that's an F by my standards, right? Thinking back at school. Out in the VC world, that's hitting home runs all the time, and that amazes them. Right now, we are at 38% and trending in the upwards direction. So we feel as though we have a responsibility to accept risk on behalf of the department. And if we were batting much higher than we are right now, then I think that we're not taking enough risk and doing things that others could do on their own. And that's one of the things that we like to celebrate or emphasize is that we only do what we can do. If others can and should do it, then we have responsibility to let them do it. Right. So the projects that we take on, they must meet three criteria. They must be problems that we believe can be solved in large part, leveraging existing commercial technology. They must be problems that we believe we can help others solve within 24 months. And they must be problems that are shared beyond one customer.
Right.
If they don't meet those three criteria, then it's a problem that somebody else can and should solve.
And what do you do as far as oversight and transparency? I know you have to work quickly, but at the same time, you know, a company could easily make a, you know, really trashy prototype and make a couple bucks off of it and have it never go into production. So how do you kind of barrier yourself against something like that?
Well, we found that it should be no surprise that the companies who want to do work with us aren't interested in prototypes either. Mm-hmm. They're interested in the upside of production and scaling. You know, in many respects, we're potentially the largest customer in the world for any one of these companies out there. So we found that they are especially deliberate in ensuring that they do their best to make sure that the prototype is a success, that it solves the problem that we are attempting to solve, and that it is developed in a way that is focused on integration and not just, you know, wowing us at the outset.
That's Defense Innovation Unit Acting Managing Partner Sean Heritage speaking with Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni. Be sure to check Scott's story at federalnewsradio.com.